Yo, what's up? Welcome to Jumpmaster, an Apex Legends podcast brought to you by OKBeast.com. I'm your Jumpmaster, Blessing Adioye. Joining me this week is my squad mate, Alex Van Aken. What's up, Alex?
Hey.
Also joining us is John Bernardo. What's up, John?
What up, Bless? What up, Alex?
I am very excited to record this.
I'm super excited because earlier this week, something crazy happened, guys. Apex Legends dropped on Sunday, and since then, I've been playing it nonstop. I believe Alex has been playing nonstop. Yep. I don't know how much John has been playing. I don't know if John even knows what the game is. Of course, Jumpmaster is a weekly Apex Legends podcast. Each episode, join us for the latest news, tips and tricks, and experiences relating to Respawn Entertainment's brand new Battle Royale game set in the Titanfall universe. A few things for housekeeping. Usually the way we do these, we set it for a certain amount of episodes. And so right now we're going to go about maybe like 5 or 6 episodes, a limited run series. But by the end of it, if we're feeling that like, hey, we're still really liking and playing Apex Legends, show might continue. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'm excited to do this. Of course, if you're coming in here or if you're listening, just for the Apex Legends chat and you're not familiar with us, hello, I'm Blessing. I'm part of OKBeast.com, which is a website dedicated to covering games and culture. We have a lot of things to do. We have, A+ Anime, which is a podcast about anime. We have, Freelancer's Guide that's coming out, starting next week, which is about Anthem. We have the OKBeast podcast, which is just a general gaming show. And we also do articles, we do videos, do a whole bunch of stuff. Also joining us, we got Alex Van Aken, who, Alex, I don't know if you have anything to introduce yourself with. You're like the shooter guy.
I love Battle Royale games. I was a big PUBG guy. Of course, Fortnite. I love these kind of games and this genre. And it's been like really exciting 2 years because of all of the we saw the birth of the genre. And that's been really cool. And we've seen a lot of iterations and Apex Legends is definitely like a big heavy hitter as far as, you know, iterations go to the genre. So I'm really excited to talk about the game. I'm ready to dive in.
Awesome. And John isn't actually like really like a core member of OKBeast, but like he said, we picked him off the street because he looked like he could podcast. And so, John, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
It's an honor to be on an OKBeast podcast product. So thank you so much for having me.
And you like, and the real reason why you're here is because we're friends and when we appreciate you, and you're also in Apex Legends, and we figured it'd be a good thing to get your voice on here. What's a fun fact about yourself for people who don't know you?
I'm a dad. I don't have a lot of time to game, so if I get sunken into a game, it's because it's special. Let me tell y'all, people, Apex Legends is a special game.
Yeah,
I'm making time for it.
Yeah, it is.
I'm a big OKBeast fanboy for anyone listening. So I bug these guys long enough and eventually they let me come on here. I'm just a guy that likes the game. I love comics. I love gaming. And I'm a big ass nerd. Oh, fun fact. I love Ninja Turtles. There you go. There's your fun fact.
Nice.
Yeah. And you can follow John on Twitter at John S. Bernardo. You can follow Alex on Twitter at It's Van Aken. You can follow me on Twitter at Blessing Jr. And you can follow OKBeast on Twitter at OKBeast Now. Rate us on iTunes. If you like this podcast, if you enjoy our discussions about Apex Legends, please rate us on iTunes or any podcast platform that you may be listening to this on. Rating helps a lot. Helps with the weird algorithms that go on behind the scenes on iTunes. Yep. It pushes this podcast further, gets us closer to that front page. And so rating helps everybody listening to this. Especially if you're new, don't feel too pressured to rate us. We would really like if you did. If you're an OKBeast, if you're part of the community, if you're one of the OKBeast fam, because we don't have fans, we have fam. If you're one of the 20 nice teens out there, we need you to go and rate this podcast, and we'd appreciate it. Thank you so much. Talking to you, Johnny Hayes. aside from this show, like I said, we have a whole run of shows, A+ Anime. We have The Greatest Game, which is all about aesthetics and philosophy within gaming, hosted by the homie Chase Williams. You can find the rest of our stuff on OKBeast.com. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/OKBeast, if you want to check that out to get more information about the site and support us monetarily. Without further ado, guys, what is Apex Legends?
Apex Legends is a 60-player-filled Titanfall universe-esque battle royale game, first-person, class-based. It is currently, the game is on fire right now. The game came out on Monday, the 4th. It was announced the weekend, or there rumors dropped the weekend before. I think we started hearing rumors from, I believe, Jason Schreier from Kotaku on Friday the 1st.
And well, I can't remember the name of the YouTuber, but there was a YouTuber that kind of leaked the information.
Because yeah. they had a streamer event, I believe, that the YouTuber went to.
Yeah, and like I think it was later in the weekend where Jason Schreier was like, this is happening. And then more people were like, kind of, because by Sunday, everything was kind of like out of, like the lid was open. Everybody was kind of like, oh yeah, you'll see if you, like, keep on lookout for tomorrow. Like, you're going to see impressions from me tomorrow. Like, streamers, influencers started to put that out there. Like, this is on Sunday. People were like, tomorrow, everything's going to pop off. And like, there are ideas that like, maybe they'll have a commercial at the Super Bowl. Maybe that's their plan. But yeah, ultimately the game was announced, dropped on Monday. Thankfully, everything lined up for me in a cool way because I didn't have to go into work, because in Seattle it was snowing like crazy on Monday. And so I got to stay home, and then like I watched the trailer and I was like, okay, Apex Legends looks kind of fun. So I downloaded it and I started playing it, and as soon as I started playing it, I started messaging all the other OK Beast guys, and I was like, guys, this game's kind of fun. Like, this game's
which was
cool.
A lot coming from you, because you're like, you enjoy multiplayer, like battle royale games. You're not necessarily a big fan of the genre, I feel like, right? Like, there are some games that you happen to like, but you were like rabid. You're like, guys, like, you were insistent that this game was great.
Yeah, like I was obsessed with Fortnite for like a month. I played PUBG with like the homies, but I wasn't in love with PUBG the way like the world was kind of on fire for PUBG in 2017.
Yeah.
And like Blackout, I think I played the demo once and I was like, all right, this is another one.
I feel like this is the first time you were like fervent about, like,
yeah, this is probably the first time where I was like, guys, this game is like really cool, and like, I got super into it. Yeah. And then like immediately following, like, all of us got to play it that first day. And I think it was the next day it came to you and I was like, what do you think of the game? And you're like, scheme of the year. And I was like, yeah, we're in February. And so like, hyperbole is hyperbole, but we do really love this game. And like, it probably sound like us even doing this podcast the same week that this game is out, was released and announced and all that stuff, can kind of come off as like a cash grab. And to be very clear and to have like full transparency, it is a cash grab.
100%.
I was going to say a trash bag. It's a trash bag.
But too.
We all do genuinely enjoy this game. Like, this is a thing of like, oh yeah, we're making this podcast just to make this podcast. Yeah. We have an Anthem podcast next week.
Yeah.
And like, this is something that we're kind of forcing ourselves to do because like, we're all pretty much in love with this game.
Yeah.
And kind of want to talk about
Trust
it.
Trust me, we wouldn't. So we, I think you mentioned earlier, Bless, we've done a lot of these limited run podcasts at OK Beast. We've done them for Breath of the Wild in the past. We did it for Mario Odyssey. We also have done them for Fallout 76. And I could tell you, I would not do another podcast like that, because Fallout 76 came out before the game was even out. Like, expectations were like tepid. The game came out, it was like trying to find, you know, the glimmer of hope in the darkness as I played it. And it was just not. I had a lot of fun with Fiona McKinnon, because Fiona McKinnon is an awesome co-host. But having to play that game and talk about the game weekly when it was in a horrible state was not very fun mentally. And so I can tell you that I'm genuinely very excited for Apex Legends and like just eating all the info up. And it's been a crazy week. The game is great so far. I'm loving it.
So what are some of the things that Apex Legends kind of does differently that makes us go, wow, this is great?
Yeah. For me, it's the most, like, I played a lot of rough battle royale games. I've played like the games, the big ones, PUBG, Fortnite. I've also played, you know, the more obscure ones. And a lot of them, what they have in common is, very quick dev cycles, trying to capitalize on a new genre. And therefore a lot of them for a long time were really, not polished. And a lot of them were rough around the edges. This game is the total opposite. We talked a little bit on the OK Beast podcast that's going out next week, but, about this seems like one of the first battle royale games that had like a full dev cycle. And because of that, it feels very polished. It feels very well thought out. There's also a lot of quality of life improvements that the genre hasn't seen yet. One of the things that a lot of people are talking about, and rightfully so, is the new ping system, which I'm sure listeners listening to this, if they are familiar with Apex Legends, I'm sure they've seen like all the other people they follow and listen to talk about the ping system. But for those who are unaware, it is... you press R1 and you can press it, you can double tap it, you can hold it. And there's a myriad of options, communication options that are at your disposal. So you can ping a location and say your character, if you ping a location, your character's voice will tell the other people, hey, let's go here. Let's explore this. Or you can select on the dial, oh, looks like somebody's already been here. Or you can double tap it and your character will say enemy is right there. So communication is incredible in this game. And I think that is key to Battle Royale.
It's also like super context sensitive like you pointed a weapon and they're like, the character will say AR level 2 and like,
well, even, it'll those, even name the weapon, you know, like R301 like, carbine.
Saying there's a gun here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, cause you have that communication while playing like Fortnite or PUBG, like you'll be like, oh, there's shields over here. And it's like, it's a level 2 shield if anybody needs any. And like, you'll like, there's those basic levels of communication that you have when you're playing a battle royale game that are just baked into this game. And it's like, it's essentially a battle royale game designed for people who have been playing battle royale games that were like either came out and were, I don't want to say unpolished, because like, I guess PUBG was early access, and so it had a reason to be kind of like a little bit janky, but had that level jank, right? And it wasn't necessarily like, PUBG is not a AAA game or didn't come out as a AAA game, right? And so like, PUBG came out and it is what it is, right? Fortnite was a game where that battle royale came from a game that already existed, and they kind of put that mode together like in like 3 to 6 months or however long it was, right? Like Blackout is probably the closest thing we've gotten to like a fully polished AAA battle royale game.
Yeah.
But this game, I feel like, takes it even further, because like even like Blackout from Black Ops, right? Like that's a mode within a game with a bunch of different modes, right? And so like they have their hands in a bunch of different pots with Call of Duty, and they're trying to focus on a battle royale mode, but they're also trying to focus on these other things. They're also trying to focus on like the next Call of Duty, right? Yeah. And what does that look like? This battle royale game, I feel like, is the first battle royale game I've played where I'm like, oh, like this is what this can be, and this is what this probably should be going forward in terms of like the idea that I can play this game without a headset with randos and still like have the full experience.
Yeah.
Because like you said, like you can point in a direction, press R1, and it'll ping a mountain on the other side. And your character is like, let's go here. Or you can double press R1. If you're playing on PlayStation, you can double press R1 and your character will be like, enemy over here. And it'll ping wherever you're aiming. Right. Or you can hold R1 and like go to an icon and be like, oh, there's an open crate over here. Oh, there's this over here. And like, no matter what you aim at. Right. And maybe, I mean, it's not no matter what you aim at, because if you just aim at a wall, like your character will just say, let's go here. But if you aim at anything that matters, right, and use that ping, like your character will give meaningful dialogue to indicate to your team like, OK, this is what's happening over here. And I've had my first match that I won was a match with a rando. Like it was me, the homie JC Weekly, from Discord and Twitter. I mean, I guess from the community, and a rando. And that whole match, like it was just a good back and forth. Yeah. Like there were times where I revived the rando. And we had pretty good chemistry because that communication was there, right? We all stayed together. We were all able to have that level of teamwork and cooperation that you just don't see with randos on other battle royale games if you're not like wearing a mic and if you're like teamed up with somebody bad, right? Like this one, since everything is dictated in the game, makes the experience so much smoother.
Yeah.
John, where are you at with Apex Legends? How do you like it so far?
Well, full disclosure, I'm not a battle royale guy. When PUBG came out, didn't really excite me. When Fortnite came out, I remember I actually got into a little bit with you and Alex and the rest of the OKBeast community. We played for a little bit, but the building mechanics, the third person, the funny controls, it didn't jive with me. So I'm not a battle royale person. I didn't really like Blackout. This game, though, I don't know what it does, what exactly it means differently, but it just makes sense. So like you guys mentioned, the ping system is amazing. After I was done playing with Alex's stepdaddy last night, he left and we were playing for, you know, we played 2 or 3 matches and then we lost all of them, but I played after. I still lost, but we made great progress without a microphone with complete randos.
Yeah.
So that's a feeling that I don't get a lot, because when I play multiplayer, I feel like I have to communicate with people. Otherwise you just always lose. But even in this game, losing doesn't feel like the end of the world. You feel like you've learned something with every match.
Yeah.
And just one, and coming from someone, like I said, that doesn't play battle royale, when you drop in and you are dropping in as a squad, that to me is such a clutch feature that I didn't even know was important coming in together.
It's super cool because, like, that's something I haven't mentioned yet, right? Is that, like, the reason why this podcast is called Jumpmaster is because at the start of each match, right, like any battle royale, you start in a plane and you jump out and everybody jumps together as opposed to jumping out one at a time, right? And so, like, if you're playing with randos, right, you're forced to kind of stay together. You can press a button to kind of, like, split off if you want to or jump alone. But for the most part, the default is you're all jumping together. And it's really cool because it, one, allows your team to kind of, like, allows whoever your jump master is to kind of dictate where you go and not feel the pressure of that early game where it's like, okay, let me make sure I'm not, like, accidentally, let me make sure I'm paying attention and not, like, accidentally splitting off from the group, or, man, is this person going to split off for no reason? It eliminates that.
It also eliminates, like, when there's been countless times playing Battle Royale games where somebody had to go to the door, their pizza's there, or their controller died, or they had to, like, we were, like, in the middle of a jump, and, like, we end up having to wait until, there's, like, a common thing in Battle Royale games where it's easy pickings at the end of the, jump line, because there's a lot of AFKers over there, you know, you can just go get free kills. That is kind of gone, because let's say, oh, dang it, like, my controller died, I can still jump with the group while I put in new batteries or whatever, like, charge my controller and whatever. Controllers don't really have batteries anymore, but I can plug my controller in real quick while Bless drops us down into Skull Town or something, you know? From that angle, I think that's really great too.
For sure. Let's talk about the hero aspect of it, or I guess the legends aspects of it. And so, like, a lot of what people have been saying is that, like, this game is like Fortnite meets Overwatch, or like PUBG meets Rainbow Six, in the sense that, like, the cool hook of this game is that I think it's the first battle royale game to do this, where you're choosing a character class as opposed to, like, you're just a regular soldier.
Like, hero. Ring of Elysium is a battle royale where you can, like, there's, like, a class system, but it doesn't have, it's, like, more like, oh, I'm gonna ride a bike, or oh, I'm gonna snowboard, or I'm gonna glide. But it's, like, it's more of a loadout, actually, not necessarily a class.
Interesting. Did Radical Heights have anything like a class?
The week that Radical Heights was open, I played, and I don't think there was a class system.
Okay. But yeah, this is, like, more, it's more analogous to, like, something like Overwatch. Maybe not as much as Overwatch, but I think Rainbow Six might be even a better analog. But essentially, your characters have, like, a passive ability, an active ability, and an ultimate ability. And so, and this is something that the developers actually stressed, that, like, each character plays the same. Each character has, like, the same hitboxes. Everything's pretty much the same for each character, except for their abilities are different. And so, like, your passive ability is something like, I use Wraith, and so I really only know Wraith's ability. Granted, her passive ability, it's kind of confusing.
Everyone's confused about Wraith's passive ability.
Yeah, it's not communicated well in-game at all. It's, like, cryptic. But I try to Google it, and essentially what happens with Wraith, with her passability, is that, like, if somebody's aiming at you, essentially something will tell you that somebody's aiming at you. I haven't figured it out yet. I think I've experienced it maybe once, and I was confused about what was happening.
I read that it's, like, you get a whisper in your ear. So maybe if you had surround sound headphones, you'd hear whispers coming from different directions.
I think,
like, Hellblade?
So here's the thing. I remember looking out of a window during one match, just to, like, kind of get a survey of the area, and then I heard like somebody tell me, like, they're looking right at us, and I was like, wait, what? And then I hear a gunshot fly by me, and I was like, wait, what? And I didn't know if it was just because, like, I saw them, and so my character was just marking that, like, I didn't know what was going on. But that's her passive ability, right? And it's something that I don't have to, like, necessarily activate, right? Her active ability, and I think with most characters, you activate it with L1, if not all characters. You press L1 with Wraith, she essentially disappears for, like, 5 seconds, and you can kind of run around. I believe, like, she leaves a streak behind or something, so it's not, like, totally unfair. But that's her active ability. Her ultimate is she creates a portal, kind of like Symmetra from Overwatch. Remember when she made portals? It's kind of like that. It's portals active for 60 seconds. You can place 2 portals wherever you want. Wraith is my main. I haven't necessarily figured out how to use the portal well yet. I feel like it's complicated in a battle royale game almost.
Yeah, I think I've used it a couple times. Like, my team was pinned down, and there was, it just kind of worked out. We were playing in the dam area, and we were inside of the dam, and people were, like, pushing us from the outside. And I was actually playing with Andrew Taylor from the OKBeast community, but I was in a spot, I was near him, but they couldn't see me. So I placed the portal down and ran away because I had an escape route. And I told him kind of just stay here because he had like an angle that he was kind of sitting at and they couldn't quite hit him, but they were still like pinning him down. And then I ran up the stairs in the dam and placed the portal down. And so he zipped up to me and we were safe. I tried messing with it I was in a 2v1 and I just panicked and tried to lay down two portals. And I tried bouncing between the two to kind of throw them off. But I don't know. I think we're going to see a lot of Galaxy Brain plays soon with Wraith because she does seem very high level.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of with you. Like, it's almost like, oh, my teammates are behind me. Like, here, let me place down a portal for them to catch up. I think those are the main uses right now, but I'm sure that as the meta progresses, we'll see more, you know, oh, in this scenario, use this, you know. But for now, it just seems like a traversal-based, you know,
option. Yeah. So let's talk about the world and map and kind of the aesthetic of Apex Legends a bit. I really like how it looks. It's interesting because, like, in the menu, right? Like, the menu, I compared a lot to Overwatch, where, like, Overwatch, the menus are super bright and super light and super colorful. And in this game, it's a little bit more toned down and serious and black. But once you get to the map is, like, very bright and looks very crisp.
It's funny because like, they were wanting to put this game out, or the rumor is like this was Titanfall 3 and they morphed it into this because of the engine aging. I'm like, this engine looks like you said, super crisp. Looks great. Yeah,
it does.
And it's working off. It's the Source engine, which at this point I guess is an old engine, like they do a great job with it. And it's like, I think it's just a weird thing of like video games evolving and trying to figure out like, okay, how do we implement like new features and new stuff into it? But like, man, they I'm not gonna say revolutionized yet because I can't say that for like until we really see what this game does. Yeah. But
until we go past 5 episodes.
Yeah, exactly. But like they're doing some cool new things in the battle royale genre that like, I mean, doesn't necessarily need a whole new engine to kind of pull off seemingly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like the map. With 60 players, I feel like 60 players is almost like. I feel like the map is full already.
It is. It very much is.
And I think I read somewhere that they're trying to push the player count up if they can to like, I don't know if they're trying to aim for 100 or like if they're just like trying to experiment with like how far they can get. Mm-hmm. Apparently they had the choice between launching on console day and date with PC or launching on console day and date with PC with 60 players or going PC only with 100. I think I heard that from a Giant Bomb interview. I'm glad they made this choice because I think this kind of works for them because like my thing is I think the map might be even kind of small.
Yeah, it is for a BR game.
I feel like I run into people super quickly in the game. But like I guess it all kind of depends on where I land also because like
there's generally one squad though with you or near you, you know. You're generally in a firefight within the first 5 to 7 minutes.
Yeah. It's interesting that this game, I feel like in this game more so than in any other battle royale game, you're forced to play as a team.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're forced to stick together. Not just because like they give you the tools to communicate well, but also because like any person that's alone is gonna get murked.
Yeah, they are.
I feel like.
Yeah.
The
time to kill is very quick. Like you have to like there are rarely fights so far. I've played probably 30, 35 matches at this point, maybe more. I'm at like 100 kills on Pathfinder. So I've like gotten into a lot of fights and there's rarely been a fight that I've left unscathed. Like in Fortnite, there's been plenty of times playing with my brother. Like we'll just like drop on some people and they don't have time to react and they're just dead instantly. And there's some of that here, but also I feel like people, the abilities really change things. You know, if you drop on a Wraith, they have a quick escape that kind of lets them get on their feet and kind of, you know, get in their head and figure out what to do. Like people have some reaction time, even though there is a quick kill timer or kill quick limit, but it's interesting. Like it's hard. It's hard. I think like there are plenty of battle royale games that I can get, you know, if you kind of know the rotations on the map. All right, we're going to go here. We're going to go here and we'll get the win. Probably like we have a high chance. This game, I've gotten 2 wins so far and they were like, getting by the skin of my teeth, like I like it though.
Yeah, I like it too, and I feel like the pace as far as like how the pace at which battles go, varies, and it's pretty good, because like I feel like if you're fighting against somebody who has full health and then like the full shield, like the four bars of shield or whatever,
yeah,
those fights can take a while, yeah. Because yeah, like
really picking at them.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, there are matches where I'm like, yo, I put in so much damage dealt, but I have zero kills. Yeah. Because people are just beefed up, which I think lends to like the fact that like you have to play this game as a team, because like, yeah, if you're alone and you're fighting people with like full shields, then you have zero chance.
And I think as far as like the down, but so there's a revive system in this game, number one.
Oh, yeah.
Which is,
I love the revive system.
We didn't talk about that yet. That is like revolutionary for Battle Royale. This is the first time we've had like a revive system in the game. And I think, you know, on paper, it's like, oh, that's like against the spirit of Battle Royale, but it works so well in this game.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, consequences to dying. Like you don't get your stuff back. You have to go back to your corpse if you have time, like with the circle pushing you. Mm-hmm. But also like getting people when they're down but not out, like picking them back up. It's super speedy in fights, and I think that's why fights last so long, is if you play it right. Like if you go around a corner, you have time sometimes to pick your teammate up, and then you are back in the fight, you know. And I think we're gonna see, you know, it's kind of like the cotillion of Battle Royale games so far. A lot of people, you know, it's called thirsting when you like kill somebody in a fight before the fight is over, you know, before you wipe the squad. It might almost be a necessity in this game to thirst for the kills. I think you can revive your teammate if you do survive the fight. So it's not that big of a deal. It's like you're sending somebody back to the lobby, but also that time to pick somebody up is so quick. You are kind of, in order to finish the fight and close the fight, you're kind of forced to like down people. Like as soon as they're down, you need to like aim for them and, you know, get that that advantage going. Yeah.
So I feel almost the opposite way in terms of like, yeah, because like I feel like that, because I've been doing the thing where I'm like, I'm tempted to, when I see people down, I'm tempted to kill them.
Yeah, yeah, it depends on the scenario for sure.
Yeah, because I feel like that's been my downfall, because I feel like there's almost more incentive to down the whole team, because even if you eliminate somebody, that does not mean they're eliminated.
Exactly,
like that,
yeah, like they can
still come back. And so like it almost takes the joy out of killing somebody who's down, because like in PUBG or in Fortnite, it's like when I kill somebody, when I down somebody, I'm like, yeah, they're back in the menu, like they can't play anymore. I just ruined somebody's day. But here I'm like, yeah, I can down this person, but if I don't kill their friend, then their friend can still revive them, and that's not gonna like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, for sure. But I guess like if you are like, if everyone's in each other's face, yeah, don't do that. But if you are on like if you are like across the map, across a town from somebody, and people are kind of split up, and you've got cover, and you get somebody down, focus them, because they're like, the likelihood of them running and picking up their corpse and then running and reviving them is very slim when you're in a firefight. Like if they are somehow separated, you have to punish them. But I agree with you. Like if you are in like a, like everyone's SMGing and spraying and praying, like don't focus the down.
Yeah.
But if it's like a long drawn out, like there's kind of distance and cover, like try to don't let them pick up their teammates. That's why they have a shield too. So they're, cause the incentive is to hit them and down them, but they have a shield now. So it's like this weird, I get what you're saying. I totally agree with you.
It's a really good point though, because like we got into a sniper fight when we were playing yesterday, and the sniper fight lasted forever because like we would down somebody and their teammate would revive them, and then like somebody would down us, and then like we just revive each other, and like it kind of lasted forever because like people, like the long distance fights, right, aren't necessarily going to
you're wasting ammo
going to end. Just gonna deplete ammo, and so like you do have that incentive, especially if you're at a distance, to down people, or like not even down people, but to eliminate people, as opposed to only down them,
Or at the very least push and get better positioning.
Yeah, exactly.
When I think, even from a player perspective, from a new player that's new to Battle Royale, for me, playing a Battle Royale, thinking that I'm gonna get into a game and then you're dead and you start all over. It's very enticing to come into a game knowing that you have another opportunity to come back and play.
For sure.
Because you always have that hope. Even when you're completely dead, your squad can pick up your player banner and revive you later. You know what I mean? So you're never really out. So it keeps you wanting to stay in the game. You know, when I die, my squad's still alive. I'm going to spectate them. I'm going to try to help them out from what I can see. And you can watch more. You can maybe even learn something more because you're in that game rather focusing about yourself and just leaving as soon as you're dead.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've stuck around.
So let's talk about numbers.
Yeah.
The game has 10 million players as of the time we're recording. And this is like, we're recording on Thursday. You're listening to this Friday. The number might go up. like it might be 15 million by the time you're listening to this. But yeah, the number is wild. And yeah, I don't know. Like, do you guys have any takes on like what these numbers mean for Apex Legends? Like, do we feel like they're going to sustain this? Do we feel like it's a hype thing in the moment because it's a new Battle Royale game? People are streaming it, people are seeing it, and we're in that moment. What does the longevity of this game look like?
Yeah, I think we've seen with a lot of these Battle Royale games, like with Realm Royale, with Boss Keys, Radical Heights. I'm sorry, I couldn't remember that name. There was a lot of, and I'm sure this game too, like it's very clear, like they are paying people. And for the record, we are not paid by EA or Respawn or anybody. We have no affiliation.
God, yo, EA, hit me up, man.
EA, if you're listening, like, can you just unlock the characters for me? Just unlock the extra characters. That's all I want.
Blessing Jr. on Twitter. If you want this to be an EA sponsored podcast, I guess that would eliminate journalistic integrity.
Yeah, but maybe a bit.
You know,
but we're open, you know.
just give me Mirage, unlock Mirage for me, and I'm good to go.
Give me Mirage, and you'll have a 10.
If we're ever sponsored by EA, you will know we're sponsored by EA.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to put that out there, make it very clear.
So, with that said, EA, yo, what's up?
Yeah. but there are a lot of partnered Twitch streamers and a lot of partnered influencers who are paid by EA to talk about the game. And so, you see that a lot, though, with game launches. There's a lot of that happening, and it's clear. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like people can kind of read through the lines, though, see between the lines when that happens. And like people can really tell if the game is good or not. Like, and the streamers aren't necessarily like saying, I mean, the streamers with integrity, are not, you know, out there for bad games and like, oh my gosh, best game ever.
Yeah.
It seems like people are genuinely excited about this, even though I know that, there's a lot of paid influence going on right now. That being said, 10 million players is insane. And I was going to say all of the other Battle Royale games besides Fortnite, I think, and PUBG that we've seen that had sponsored content, none of them reached these numbers. Like none of them were like, they were happy to get a million in like a week or two, you know, they hit that. I think day one, they had 2.5 million. I think it was at least a million. I can't remember when all the numbers came out.
It was 2.5 million unique players and it had 600,000 concurrent players. I believe that was in day one.
That stat is very telling. The 600 concurrent players. Like there's a difference in like a lot of Twitch streamers streaming a game and people actually playing a game, right? And I think that 600 concurrent player is huge and a huge red flag to show that, you know, people are into this game. And I think that the 10 million players is insane. That's insane. And it's been 72 hours since the game came out. 10 million players.
That is a ridiculous number.
The big thing for me is that this game is free to play. For sure. Like Fortnite is free to play. Yep. And this game seems that it has a battle pass, which we'll talk about next. But I think they're doing a lot of the right things. They're pulling a lot of influences from a lot of different places. Yeah. Like the quality of shooting it's like if I paid this game, I would have been fine with it, right? Like given like some of the monetization systems, I might pull out one or two, but like Rainbow Six Siege even is a full price game, right, that I paid for. And like I feel like the character unlocking in this game is even more lenient than in Rainbow Six
vastly.
Siege. Yeah. And like they have like the same like loot box system that's in Overwatch. Yeah. And they're pulling a lot of different inspirations from a lot of different games as far as that.
For sure.
But yeah, let's talk about the Battle Pass.
This comes from
Polygon, an article that's called Apex Legends Roadmap Shows Four Seasons of Events. I'm going to read the whole article since it's a shorter article.
Okay.
It reads like this. Apex Legends was surprise launched on February 4th and already has over 1 million unique players. So this was written a couple days ago. In Respawn's opening blitz of trailers, they showed off a gameplay deep dive. Redditors also spotted a roadmap for the game's first year of content. Starting in March, so very soon, players will be able to purchase a battle pass for Apex Legends. This seems to follow Fortnite's example pretty closely with new skins and levels that can be earned only through the battle pass. These passes will run for an entire season. Season 1 runs until June, so that's March until June, when season 2 will start. The seasons last 3 months, so it seems like they're analogous to real seasons.
Yeah.
With the final season of year 1 starting in December. But new items and legends will also be coming with each season. Aside from the Battle Pass itself, the roadmap suggests that new legends, weapons, and loot will be added every season, which should add another layer of strategy to the ever-changing meta. It's currently unclear how these items will be rolled out, whether all new content will be front-loaded on the first day of the season, or if it'll be spread out through the 3 months. With the first season starting in March, we should know a bit more about the plan soon. And so it seems like it's going to be similar to Fortnite, the Battle Pass.
Yeah.
It seems like we're going to get a new character maybe in March.
Yeah.
Depending on how they roll things out. Because we're not sure if they're like, if it's like, oh yeah, the season one hero will be available the second month of the season or whatever it'll be. But presumably in March, we'll get a new legend. I guess the biggest comparison is Fortnite. And so like, do we think that this game gets to Fortnite levels of crazy? Because like, Fortnite just had a concert with Marshmello. Fortnite does very weird things with their seasons and very weird in-game events. Do we expect that from Apex Legends, or do we? I guess even to start, since we're in year one, so I guess like Fortnite's in year seven? Two or three.
We're in week one,
but they're in season seven though.
Oh yeah, season seven. Yeah, we're on week one. What do we expect from Apex Legends as far as the Battle Pass?
I mean, I don't think it's going to get to Fortnite levels, only because Fortnite has, you know, on every device, it has the kids, it has that easy hook gameplay that everyone in the world seems to be playing, and Fortnite's lightning in a bottle, right? That's a cultural phenomenon that I don't think you're going to be easily captured. I do think this is going to definitely come close to it. I think it's going to crush the competition in the sense of, I think PUBG is going to start to become a distant memory here. I think Blackout, I feel like it's going to affect the most because it's the closest to it, right? Where you have a first person shooter, whereas the other ones are third.
Yeah.
And they're that's the most similar that I think. Obviously, Call of Duty is not class, but Respawn used to make Call of Duty. Not the developer Respawn, but the people from Respawn made Modern Warfare, right? So to me, that is a closer competition, and I think Call of Duty has the most to lose, especially being a $60 game. Mind you, they came with more modes, but everyone's buying it for Blackout.
Exactly. So I think you can buy Blackout separately for $30 now, but still.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, you can. I believe so.
But look, PC. You can buy this for nothing, and in my opinion, I play the Blackout beta, and this is a much better experience. In regards to the Battle Pass, I'm looking at all the cosmetic things. I probably won't be using any of them, but I'm going to buy the Battle Pass because I want to show Respawn that they did a good job and I want to support them. And if I'm going to just give them a Battle Pass money, then here, take it. I don't even care about the extra things. I just want them to see that, you know, you guys did real good.
I'm curious on where the value is going to come from for the Battle Pass, because I've realized like playing for this first week, right, and seeing like, okay, like I've accrued about 9,000 of the, I believe they're called legend tokens.
Yeah, something like that.
Which you can spend toward characters, right? Like it, and I've earned 9,000 just through 3 days of playing, and you can unlock a character at 12,000, right? And so if I can unlock the characters just by grinding, just by playing, that's perfect. If I can get loot and stuff just by playing, like if everything I can get in the game, if I can get through playing, and if they're not that crazy of a grind, or if they're not like impossible to get, I might skip out on the Battle Pass. But if the Battle Pass provides like a good, like, I don't know, if it provides like good objectives, or if it provides like a similar level of like fun and progression as Fortnite does, then maybe I'll go for it. I'm not sure. For me, it's a wait and see thing of like, okay, what are the details of the Battle Pass? Like Apex, what do you have to sell me on?
Yeah,
I would like to see like a sort of a challenge system, like how they have in Fortnite. That would be something to push you further.
Yeah,
I know you just read an article, but I'm reading the GameSpot one right now, and they have a little bit more information where they say each Atlas Pass will Atlas Apex Battle Pass will include around 100 different rewards, and it says several items in each season can be unlocked without the need to purchase a pass. But you'll need to buy one to order everything. So not everything is going to be locked into that pass. So there's still plenty of stuff you can get without the pass. So like you're saying, you don't need to. Like you're not going to not get legends if you don't buy the battle pass.
Yeah. And I think the economies for like the currency economy for the legends themselves seems really generous. Looking at the skins though, I don't think it's as generous. I think like the weapon skins, I can't remember. It was in the thousands. I think it might have even been like 10,000. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But there for the, I was looking at the legendary weapon skins, which they're selling in the shop for like, you know, $10 or something. But those to unlock with the, you have to have the materials, which you get in like the Apex packs.
Mm-hmm.
Those take a lot longer to collect, a lot longer. So I think maybe the Battle Pass might be leaning towards skins and less about, you know, I'm sure it'll have hero. It might have hero unlocks like with Rainbow Six Siege. That seems to be a popular thing in Rainbow Six is unlocking the operators. I think maybe the focus will be on the cosmetics because it is so easy. Like I have 10,800 legend tokens or whatever, and I've probably played for 10 hours total, maybe a little less this week. And I've almost unlocked a character, right? Whereas I'm nowhere close to getting the gun skins. So maybe that's the incentive if you're wanting, you know, the cool, the drag, like some of the gun skins in this game are wild looking. There's an angel, there's a dragon, like there's some crazy little skins for guns in this game. So I think that might be the focus.
With this game being as stylish as it is already, I'd really like them to kind of go full force because when people listen to the OKB's podcast, I think they'll hear more about this. But like I kind of talked about like the characters kind of like being like I like the characters that are in the game. I think they have a lot of personality, but they don't necessarily like they're not necessarily the most unique of characters as far as like the robot character being kind of analogous to something like Claptrap or like the robot character from Lawbreakers, right? Or like Lifeline kind of being just being a healer or like or not just being a healer because she's like she has personality, but all these characters kind of fit a certain archetype, right? Like Wraith is an interdimensional traveler and she's like dark, you know, and I would like them to kind of use that opportunity for like skins and stuff to kind of add more character to their characters, if that makes sense.
Because
like I look at something like Overwatch as the gold standard for that kind of thing. And Apex Legends doesn't necessarily need to be Overwatch because it's a different thing. It has a different kind of vibe to it, but I would like them to kind of run crazy with that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about cross play for a second. I'm pulling this from GameSpot. I'm going to read a small portion of the article. The name of the article is Apex Legends cross-platform play could come in the future. I'm going to start here. Although the game doesn't support cross-platform play, Respawn has hinted that that may not always be remain the case. On the Apex Legends fact page, Respawn writes, "We currently don't support cross-platform play, but are always working on new features and improvements we can add to the game." So it sounds like crossplay could be a possibility. There was an update though that was added to this GameSpot article. The update says an earlier version of this article theorized that through cross-platform support, Apex Legends could offer players shared progression across every system, so like shared purchases, all that stuff. However, in an interview with Eurogamer, Respawn said that cross-progression will never be possible in Apex due to the way systems were set up early on, which can't be reconciled after the fact. Thus, the portion of this article that mentioned the possibility of cross-progression has been cut. And so, cross-play is a possibility. Cross-progression, however, doesn't seem like a thing that's even possible given the way that this game is kind of set up.
I think I saw the original interview, and they said they mentioned it like it would be a huge feat to do. I don't think they said, I don't know if they necessarily said it's off the table completely, but it's nowhere in the future of this game right now. Mm. Like nowhere in the near future at all. But cross play did seem to be like in the books and like wanting to work towards that. So, I mean, I think that's interesting. Like, I don't know if they expected this game to blow up as much as it did.
No, I don't think so either. I think they expected it to do good. I think maybe they expected 1 million maybe within the first week or two.
But even the first month.
Yeah, exactly. But they get to 10 million and we haven't even hit the end of the week. To right now, this is Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. It hasn't even been a week. It's not even 5 days and they've hit 10 million. Mind you, it could stop at 10 million and not go up anymore, but that's still impressive. You can't take that away from them.
Yeah. And I think this game was being developed before we saw a lot of crossplay technology. Crossplay is still very much a rarity, you know. I know Epic committed to releasing their cross-platform, you know, code and API and all of that stuff. This like over 2019, but having a game that's been in development theoretically been in development for several years, I could definitely see why they wouldn't have that in place yet. Because that wasn't necessarily a big thing when they started developing this.
Yeah, and Epic kind of has that, the not advantage, I guess advantage might be the word. They, since they're the ones who kind of own Unreal, and they're so, like, they have the knowledge of the engine, they know how to kind of, like, to kind of bend it to their whim and kind of do whatever they want with it. And so, like, when you look at a game like Fortnite, which kind of, like, you see new things just thrown into that game all the time, it's because that game is super flexible, and Epic kind of knows how, like, they have that ability to, like, make that experience kind of be whatever they want it to be.
Yeah.
Which may not be the case with Respawn in the Source engine, given that the Source engine at this point is kind of an older engine. But yeah, guys, before we wrap up, we're going to answer a couple of questions. If you want to ask us a question, you can tweet at us at OKBeastNow. You can put the hashtag Jumpmaster so we know that is for the show. First question comes from Ollie. He says, I started two games in Apex, and I'm so confused about the weapons, skills, and special moves, etc. Am I just stupid, or will I get the hang of it? The only other battle royale I've ever played is Fortnite, and it's definitely more intuitive. In Apex, all guns look the same, lol.
I don't think, in my limited experience with Fortnite, I don't think Fortnite's more intuitive, because I had trouble getting the building mechanics. I know I'm not the only one that had trouble with that. Obviously, once you change your controls to Builder Pro, it gets a lot easier, but I feel like this is a lot more straightforward. Yeah, the guns can look the same, you know, from a distance, but once you get close to it and you hover over it, you'll see exactly what it is, and it'll tell you what it is. You can see, you know, the rarity and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, do a little bit of research finding out what guns are some of the best guns. And let's be real, when you're trying to survive on a battlefield, you're just going to get the gun you can get right now and then worry about a better gun later. So I do disagree a little bit with the more intuitive part, but You're not stupid. You will get the hang of it, Ollie. It's just play it. Just keep playing it.
I disagree. I think Ollie is stupid. No, I'm playing. Ollie, you're not stupid. I think because Apex Legends is more closer to PUBG than Fortnite, and so I think that might be cause for some confusion. Like,
yes.
Fortnite doesn't really have backpacks. Fortnite.
That's true.
Fortnite doesn't have attachments that you have to worry about.
Yeah, attachments and all that stuff. All that stuff, like, I mean, when I remember playing PUBG and kind of trying to learn what was happening, it was super confusing for me too. I think you'll get it, because I think Apex Legends is way better about kind of making things easier for you. And so, like, when you pick up an attachment in Apex Legends, the attachments, if they're compatible with your weapon, will automatically equip to your weapon,
yep.
Which is super nice. If you pick up an attachment that you already have, but if you're aiming at a higher level attachment, it'll replace the one you have. Or if you're aiming at a lower level attachment, it'll tell you that you can't equip that one. Things like that, I think, is going to make it a lot easier to learn this game than PUBG. And yeah, like, I think it's just a learning experience. I think you'll get it pretty easily.
I think in the next week, you'll, like, the weapons will take time, because they are, you know, it's not like you are gold SCAR or gold, you know, or SMG, silence SMG. It's like R301 carbine, you know.
Yeah.
All of his other names, and I think that just takes time.
Yeah,
but it does say what type of gun it is. Like, it'll say that, you know, it's a burst rifle, it's a semi-automatic. It will tell you that, so you'll know whether or not you're picking up a sniper rifle or an automatic.
And also, fun little fact: in the right hand part of your lower right hand part of the UI, the color of the gun that is equipped, that's not rarity. That is the color of the ammo that it's associated with. So if you see red ammo, it's a shotgun. If you press triangle and then the gun is like orange, that's light ammo. So you can kind of like look at the color of the UI of the gun that is active and look for that ammo on the map, and you'll know that's the kind of ammo you need.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. That ammo is color coded, and kind of like if you think Borderlands, I kind of got a similar vibe from like picking up ammo and stuff. And it's good to like kind of learn like, okay, this is what shotgun ammo looks like. Okay, these are the shotguns in the game. And yeah, like the your UI will tell you what kind of ammo.
And all guns are the same rarity except for two in the game: the Mastiff and the Karin. Some sniper. They're both loot crate weapons. But all the other guns in the map are the same rarity. They just have different stats, and so that'll take some getting used to. But the rarities apply to the equipment that you had attached. So the helmets, the vests, the backpacks, the scopes, all that stuff that you equip onto the base things. That's what you're going to look for rarity. And the others is just base stats for your guns that you have to worry about. So that'll come with time. You'll get all that stuff down. That's just kind of the nature of learning curves with these games.
Our last question comes from Johnny Hayes. He says, Apex is full of amazing voice lines, but which ones are the best? and he says there's a correct answer. And I want to know what his correct answer is.
Yeah, I don't know what the correct answer is.
Johnny, when you listen to this, DM me, let me know.
One Johnny to another Johnny. I'm sorry, we're not on the same wavelength, man. You gotta give us a little bit more of a hint. I know that Pathfinder has a lot of sarcastic answers, and his are great, but...
Pathfinder's are my favorite.
Yeah, I think that's who he's referring to, but I feel like everybody has their own shtick, and everybody has, you know, good quips that come along with it.
I can tell you one who I can't stand right now, and I just realized this yesterday. What's his name? Mirage. Mirage is so, like, he's like a cocky dude.
Yeah,
he looks like one.
Yeah, and he, like, all his voice lines are super, like, kind of corny. But, like, in a way that kind of works, I guess, for the world, because it is, like, kind of lighthearted. But at the same time, I'm like, man, if I knew this guy in real life, I'd hate him, I bet. I do love Lifeline. She's not even, like, quippy or anything like that, but I just love her voice because she has a Jamaican accent. And she's like, get to the circle. And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting to the circle. And she's, I have healing. And, like, she'll say it in, like, a Jamaican accent. Every time she speaks, I love it.
The correct answer, Johnny Hayes, is Pathfinder's drop voice line where he says, hold your breath if you have a respiratory system. That's the correct answer, Johnny Hayes. Also, that was a terrible Pathfinder accent, but I tried my best.
Johnny, please tweet us, let us know.
I do love Pathfinder's his voice line.
Cortana. He has one voice line I can't.
He has a, oh my God, he has a similar one. He has a similar one where I think he's like jumping, he's jumping from the plane and he just says something like, something, something you'll live. I can't remember what it is. Once I get it,
I don't want to let you down, except for, it was something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something like that. I don't want to let you down except for right now, cause we're jumping out of this plane. Something weird.
Yeah.
But something that made me laugh. But boys, that'll bring us to the end of this podcast. Thank you guys so much for joining me. And also thank you, the listener, for listening. Of course, if you want to follow OK Beast and follow what we do, you can follow us on Twitter at OK Beast Now. That's at OK Beast Now on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Blessing Jr., Blessing JR. You can follow John on Twitter at John S. Bernardo. And you can follow Alex on Twitter at It's Van Aken. That's It's Van Aken. Of course, remember to subscribe and review us on iTunes. That would mean the world. It would help us out quite a bit, especially on this, our first episode. Our reviews can mean the difference between us getting to that front page of iTunes or us being on the back page of Podbean. Podbean is what I use on my Android.
Nothing wrong with Podbean, man. Everyone got to use it. You got to flick the bean.
Oh, man. Podbean has been messing me up a little bit.
Were you on Android?
I am on Android.
I switched to Podcast Addict.
I started using Spotify, actually. Spotify is pretty good, but it doesn't notify me when there's new podcasts out.
Yeah, that's the crappy part.
Yeah, and so they got to fix that. Once they fix that, then I'm going exclusively Spotify for podcasts.
Subscribe on all.
subscribe on everything. Support us on Patreon also, patreon.com/okbeast, if you want to support us monetarily, or even just check it out to see what we have to offer. Videos, youtube.com/okbeast. Until next week, have a legendary week. I don't know.
We'll see you guys next Friday.